part two of the Equity Guru Six Wave interview, where EG Zone Chris Perry speaks with company CEO and founder, Dr. Jonathan Gluckman, to get a better view of Six Wave and where it's heading for the next 12 months. Listen in.
The opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily shared by people who are wrong.
Now, one of the things that I think has probably been a challenge for Six Wave has been that there's an abundance of things you could do and an abundance of people out there who'd love you to do an individual sector. But you've obviously got not an endless supply of money and manpower. So you have to be very specific about what's going to be your next move. Are there moves that if someone dropped 20 million bucks on your head and suddenly you could open the gates, what possibilities could come forward for Six Wave?
Well, so, this is a very specific and unique area of chemistry. And so there are probably, if somebody had that, there are some strategic acquisitions that we would make to expand our ability to address these. What we would do is continue to look at how we've scheduled out some product releases. So our goal is to make sure that as our science team completes the fundamental designs and we're into the final engineering and sales cycle, they move on to the next problem. So there are two that strike me as immediate things that we would go after. So we finished the chemistry for doing colorimetric detection of what are called pathogenic amines. Well, what are pathogenic amines, John? So we all know about viruses. Well, bacteria, you can't directly do bacteria with a molecular imprint because it's a living organism. It doesn't have a defined shape because it's squishy. Yeah. But bacteria eat proteins and they produce these amines, these bad amines, and they make you sick. Well, what are they? Well, they could be the same bacteria that cause food poisoning or food spoilage or E. coli or bacterial vaginosis or sepsis or skin infections. All of these are bacteria. Well, the good news is they produce a set of bad amines, things like putrescine and cadaverine. Well, I could show you chemistry right now that instantaneously changes color to bacteria count levels that are equal to food spoilage. But that's a phenomenal application where it could be used continuously throughout the food chain to ensure food safety. In women's health, I mentioned bacterial vaginosis. It's another wonderful application because women who are in their reproductive years who want to get pregnant, if they have bacterial vaginosis, these can cause birth defects and other kinds of fetal issues. So it's something that you'd want detected. Well, what if they had a little tester for that went out with every pregnancy test? So everybody could test themselves. This is a multi-billion dollar industry all by itself. Same chemistry on the shelf. Just need the time and money to start the productization process with that. And as I mentioned earlier, I think the next big thing that's going to be happening in nutraceuticals is we're seeing a plethora of data come out to show the efficacy of psychedelics in microdosing to address atypical depression and PTSD. And I think that, again, these are biologics very similar to cannabis, where you might be growing mushrooms and wanting to distill out the psilocybin as one of the major contributors there. And for us, this is just another perfect example. And there are lots of other things that we've considered and starting to do research on. What if we could remove the carcinogens from tobacco so that all of a sudden smoking tobacco, although I'm not for that in any sense, but at least we could remove one of the health hazards from there.
Right.
Potentially, there are other food groups that we could be removing those things for. There are flavors and fragrance purification applications for this as well. So I think that I've laid out at least the next two things that I think are on our block that have equally large markets for which we already know we can make solutions for. And those are very exciting. One of the other ones that has recently gained some interest from us again, we all remember the Fukushima nuclear power plant accident. Well, they have all of this wastewater that needs to be treated and made neutral and collecting those radioactive ions out of it. This is another metals application. It's not gold mining, but it has enormous socioeconomic benefit for those kinds of cleanup activities. And of course, we know that there are nuclear waste products and wastewater products all around the world from the nuclear industry, whether it's shipboard, you know, or submarine, you know, that's used for propulsion, or whether it's just used for energy generation.
I mean, look, as we talk about it, I just the concept of molecules that attract other things. As a diabetic, you know, I wonder about the potential to swallow a pill that sucks up all my sugars, you know? I honestly think you could just go through the dictionary, pull out words and find an application. That said, that presents a potential problem for you in that, one, whenever something happens in the world that becomes a big deal, like a COVID, or psychedelics becoming legalized, or cannabis being legalized, you're able to be there. But you're only able to be there if you have the support of the markets and finances that come as a result. A lot of good technologies have been left on the shelf because they couldn't get properly commercialized. What is the risk for you that you can't get to where you want to be just because of that issue?
You know, I really think that that risk is high when you have no examples of actually commercializing the technology.
Right.
Fortunately, Sixwave has a positive history of actually doing that. You know, we commercialized the explosives detecting stuff during the Afghan and Iraqi wars. It was used heavily by coalition forces and bought by the Army and the US Navy to support them. So we've already demonstrated that we can do that. We've commercially developed and scaled up manufacturing of our gold mining product, and that's being moved to the market successfully already. So, you know, I think that it's a combination in terms of dealing with public markets of making sure that we're hitting our financials. We have to be revenue generating, and we have to focus on markets that that we have a real significant advantage in, or where there's no technology that can get you to the final application, like a smart mask. You know, and so we'll continue to evaluate the markets, we'll continue to evaluate these upcoming opportunities, and we do that in a very diligent way to make sure that whether we're going to, it's for new money to support those things, or whether we're reinvesting our profits into those. They're pointed to near-term outcomes, that they're scheduled with how the rollouts of our other products are coming, so that we continue to feed and have new developments being done at the same time that we're doing product rollout and support.
So, I mean, talking about financials, you are running at a loss currently. What needs to happen for you to turn that around?
Just a little time. We're actually delivering our first revenue generating equipment in the Affinity in the cannabis purification here in at the end of November, beginning of December. Okay. And that should be revenue generating for us in the start before the start of next year. And then we expect to be rolling out, the company gets cash flow positive for all intents and purposes once we have four of those units out and running. And we have quite a bit of interest from LPs. We've had over 130 inquiries already, 135 and counting, for equipment. So I don't believe that our problem is going to be placing those equipment and becoming revenue positive by the end of first quarter, beginning of second quarter of next year. And so the primary function of the raise that we're doing now is to support ensuring that we scale up our manufacturing capability to meet that market as quickly as we can, and to finishing the work on COVID detector.
Okay. I mean, going through your expenses, there's a lot of stuff there that's, I'm guessing, based around going public. Going public is not a cheap exercise. So you've got, you know, management fees and professional fees and consultation fees. And do you expect your next financials to look a lot different from the previous 3 months?
Yes. So, you know, a lot of those things, as I said, we just completed that RTO and January. And so there were a lot of expenses associated with both completing that transaction and the tax implications of that, and then trying to start to get to this market awareness. You know, one of the things I think that's been troubling is trying to go through COVID and making a name for ourselves on the public market at the same time. And that's been a very difficult line for us to go. So we've done a whole lot of streamlining in that regard. We're doing some additional debt restructuring. We've done some other things where key management is taking stock instead of salary to reduce cash burn. Okay. And so the company has taken a number of efforts, again, fueled by its people and our belief that we're going to be successful to ensure that we get to revenue when we're done with this race.
What do you feel like your burn looks like when you're out of the go public phase? Like we're month right now.
Give or take. Again, you know, there are certain things that drive high expenses in a month. So production things where we're going to have large outlays for those things, we'll probably settle in that the average is going to be somewhere between $350,000 and $400,000 a month.
Okay. Well, that'll be a lot different from that first quarter when you get that. Things always make people scared. What is the business model on the cannabis extraction front look like? Are you selling equipment? Are you licensing the technology? Are you delivering the actual product? How does it work?
Right. So, some of the things that have been happening in that industry has been moving toward, these toll models and such. So our goal is we're going to sell the Affinity equipment to the LPs. It replaces equipment that would cost about 8 times what our equipment costs. So it's a nominal fee to get into buying our equipment. But then we will also insist on what we're terming a total system performance license. So for that, it's sort of, we base our fee based on production. So on average, you could think about us generating $200, $250 per kilo. Well, is that a lot of money or a little bit of money? It's a lot less money than what they're currently paying for processing. And because we are a more efficient extraction process or purification process, they're going to end up with more product to sell using our process than the cost they will pay for that TSPL. So the TSPL provides us with an ongoing income base. So about each of our machines, if the small baseline machine will generate somewhere around $1.2 million worth of revenue under the TSPL program per year. So, if we get 3 or 4 of those up and running at the beginning of next year, that provides us with a cash flow positive for the rest of the year. We certainly expect to be releasing many more than that throughout next year. But as we're introducing a new product and getting that online, we want to make sure to do that in a way that's very positive experience for our customers and also allows us to take into account any engineering changes that may crop up.
I was on a call about a month ago where someone mentioned that there's a potential application to concussions.
Yeah.
Technology. That I'm struggling to figure out how that works.
Biomarkers are very common. So there are a couple of different kinds of concussions that one can get, and I don't want to get too deep into it, mm-hmm. but almost instantaneously after getting a concussion or some kind of trauma to the head, the body starts producing biomarkers in the blood. So you mentioned that you're diabetic. What we can do is take a little stick sample just like that and embed into it our molecular imprinted polymer detection for these biomarkers. And put it into a little handheld, just like your blood glucose test, little stick, and almost instantaneously after receiving concussion, you could be tested for these biomarkers and just given a red light, green light. Or it could be even more diagnostic and be looking at the different types of biomarkers as they correspond to the different types of traumatic brain injury. So you can think about this for sports, for accidents and EMTs, certainly for the military. tear, which has been a tremendous problem for all militaries that have been dealing with.
You're listening to the Equity.Guru podcast with your host, Chris Perry.
Just a quick note to tell you, sorry to interrupt your interview, but if you want more of these, you need to go to your podcast player, whatever that podcast player is, and go and subscribe to the Equity Guru podcast. You can do that through iTunes, you can do it through Google Play, you can do it through all the places. Equity Guru podcast. Do it now.
Welcome back.
You know, I gotta say, though, as a parent of a kid who plays soccer, and most specifically a goalie, you know, which is the drummer of sports, every time he gets a hit to the head, he's out of the game, no matter whether he feels good or not. A test that could instantly say he's messed up, get him off the field, or he's okay, would be massive. I would say COVID adjacent in terms of potential.
Yeah, we do that as well.
What you're talking about here is if you can pull off one vertical in any sort of commercially successful way, I would imagine you're going to have larger companies banging down your door to either license the tech for their own uses or to partner up with you to make some really interesting advances in a lot of different places.
Absolutely. And there are certainly things like a blood test like for TBI, where we would view partnering up with a biomedical device supplier might be a much better opportunity for us to get this to market, not just because of their horsepower with the regulatory environment, but also because they have the infrastructure to produce these things much better than us. You know, our model is mostly to be a fabless manufacturer, meaning that we contract out for building our stuff. And so this provides perfect opportunities for licensing opportunities and actually for potentials to spin out portions of the portfolio for acquisition. So there are lots of ways that the company can maximize the returns for our investors.
Is it potentially, I'm sure you guys have banged your heads together on this topic a lot, but is it worth doing it yourself, or is it worth spending the time finding partners that could advance the COVID side quicker, as an example, or could advance the gold side quicker than what you can do yourself?
It's a great question, and it really depends on what market we're going after. So one would think that maybe, you know, a Barrick would want to make an investment to bring the gold stuff forward. Unfortunately, when you think about that a little bit more, if they become a large investor in that application, it means that they'd have a vested interest in being potentially the only user for that, and they may not have a vested interest in trying to sell it to their competitors. Yeah. Moreover, their competitors really wouldn't be interested in buying it if it was a product of one of their competitors. So in that particular case, it didn't make sense to try and find partners in that. Certainly, in looking at things like the mask application for COVID, and potentially for things like the TBI biomarkers, those are much more likely to attract the 3Ms, the Johnson & Johnsons for the PADS, the pathogenic amine stuff. People that are in these markets already, that are selling products where this is a logical add-on to their existing portfolio of products, and that's likely where we'll move. And again, whether we end up being the final contract manufacturer or just taking a royalty on use, these are kind of dependent. One of the things I will say is, this is a very unique science. There's only probably less than a handful of companies in the entire world that have successfully commercialized molecular imprints. And so we would need to make sure that whoever partner was taking this was still going to be capable of producing. And so we may end up being somewhere in the middle of that, like producing the polymer and then having them productize it, but remaining control of our IP and of the critical detection process.
Got it. Let's just quickly, because I know you've got a big day ahead of you, look at the share price side of things. For a new company heading out onto the market, always a challenge to get momentum. you're throwing out news every other day that's frivolous. You also don't want to be quiet and let people get busy with other opportunities. Your share price stock chart is a heart attack at the moment. It's up, it's down, it's doubling, it's halving. What do you think is going on there? Is it just the case of, you know, there are some guys that maybe have been in it for a while and they're looking to make some money for Christmas? Is it people who are really into it and other people who are losing it? Like, what is the justification for what we see?
Well, you know, I think it's a combined set of things. You know, the company did this RTO with what was essentially a dormant company for a very long time. So there was really no hysteresis in trading, and there wasn't a stable base that was inherited there. We went public, and then, you know, everybody got consumed with COVID and what was happening in the markets there. And so I think that left a much smaller slice of the investing community that was looking for new investments and that was finding us. Mm-hmm. And I think that over the last few months, we've honed down significantly on what avenues to getting market support and investor awareness for the company we've been using. And we've honed on ones now that are much more successful than ones that we've tried in the past. So I think some of the old models for how to do this don't work. There's less appetite for spicy stuff and much more appetite for good hardcore stuff. And, you know, as a company that is transitioning out of R&D and into commercial production and revenue generation, we're sort of in a weird gap at the moment. And we'll very quickly get out of that gap. As I said, you know, some of those problems will be going away as the rest of this year plays out. And I think, you know, a lot of this is situational. And the company is doing what it can to try and increase its avenues for market awareness. I think there are people that are taking profits. You know, I think there are people that are, you know, moving stock around on the markets in general in very different ways these days.
Well, clearly, anytime you're moving from 26 cents to 41 cents in a day, someone's going to take their profits on the other side of that. But I guess over a longer period, what we're looking for is for the company to just keep proving itself out. One thing I really like is there's a lot of news coming out, and it's not bullshit news, right? It's not like, hey, we're in the psychedelic space. We bought a mushroom farm in Langley, you know? Like you mentioned psychedelics a few times in this interview, but not as a, you know, waving your hands around like, we're in mushrooms too. That's but right. More as a, like, you know, as I think as sectors in the market show themselves as being of real interest to consumers, the fact that your technology lends itself to a lot of different places allows you to slot into those areas without necessarily being frivolous about it.
That's right. And we're trying to do that in a responsible way that isn't always dilutive to our shareholders as well. Right. You know, that's the main push here. Get into revenue and then start building the company and getting into these other markets as we're successfully launched and generating revenue in the markets that we're addressing now.
Got it. Well, look, are management buying in on that raise?
Yes, in different ways. We certainly are. Not quite as lucratively as we're offering to the public, though.
There's only so much money you got before Christmas anyway, right? Look, I think a lot of younger investors lean towards cannabis over the last few years because it was something they knew. Mm-hmm. And I feel like biotech is the place where they're naturally progressing from after that. The fact that you biotech and cannabis, your biotech and COVID, your biotech and psychedelic mining, and it's a really interesting challenge for you to find a base that's going to stick because you're part of so many different bases. I feel like when you get to a place where there's a definitive focus that everyone can see, I think that share price is going to start building. Your market cap at $21 million is very reasonable and fair and defensible. And even if all you did was sit there like a patent troll and fire off licenses to other companies to use what you've got, that's a pretty low expense business model that if you had to, I feel like you could revert to.
Oh, I think, you know, there are lots of those kinds of things if we need to scale back and revert to those things. Absolutely. you know, and again,
you're not laying out capital for gigantic manufacturing facilities. You're working.
Oh, no, no, no. There's no plans for that. We don't need that.
Yeah. Okay, great. Well, look, I feel like you're de-risking this thing, and your potential is quite heavy, and you're maybe, you know, one partnership or one government grant away from really accelerating. So congratulations on what you've built. The share chart will follow in time if you guys keep showing your responsible landlords of the technology and guardians of people's investment. Those little heart attacks that we've been seeing all start to smooth out, I think.
We certainly hope so. Thank you so much.
So the share price currently today is, where are we at today?
Around 33 earlier, I don't know.
33, so if you're buying in on that raise, then you're getting a 10% premium to market, which is pretty decent. The share price has been all over the place. It really hasn't gone much below that 30. Over a period of almost a year. So it seems like it's a pretty, you know, if you're getting warrants into the bargain, it's not a bad thing to consider.
Thank you.
Thanks, John. Appreciate
it. You're welcome. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
Thanks for listening. For disclosure statements and more info, please visit www.equity.guru.